Sonic.
Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Tension, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset. With your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is a Q&A, so I pulled them from my Instagram and my Facebook, both Brian Keane Fitness. So a massive thank you to everyone for sending in those questions. And be sure to check out both those platforms if you have any questions you want to send into the podcast. I take them from Facebook Lives, Instagram Lives, DMs, and my Snapchat Q&A. So be sure to be checking out all those platforms, BrianK019 on Snapchat and Brian Keane Fitness on the other two platforms. So first question comes in from Kevin Ray on Facebook. I'm really struggling to eat enough food to bulk up. Any advice? Okay, so this one's really, really common with people with faster metabolisms or anyone that's kind of in that ectomorph frame where you're trying to bulk up and you're struggling to eat more food in order to do that. I've had people come through my Top 50 program. I've had some of my GA Lean Body guys in a very similar position where they've been trying to bulk up and put on size and they haven't been able to eat enough food to do that. One of the things that massively helps and serves people that are struggling to eat enough food is eating more calorie-dense foods. So for example, Kevin said that he's eating 2,700 calories a day, to give a bit more context to the question, and he's struggling to eat that many calories. If you're eating 2,000 or 4,000 calories and you're doing it with chicken and rice or broccoli or veg, it's going to be a lot harder to get enough calories in because you can eat a lot of those foods and not have to get a lot of calories from them. That's why vegetables work so well when people are trying to reduce their calories, because you're not getting that many calories from eating those foods. Eating things like rice and sweet potato and good complex carbohydrates, again, because of the amount of fiber in them, you don't have to eat as much to get full. But also, it means that if you're trying to get your calories from those foods, it can be a lot harder. So what I would advise you do is start adding in more calorie-dense foods, which effectively means that you're eating less food but getting more calories. Things like natural peanut butter, natural almond butter, different oils, flaxseed, hemp seed, coconut oil. Getting calories from these sources is a lot easier to bump them into your diet and bump them into your nutritional plan without having to eat extra food. So for example, to give context to this answer, I've got a couple of my GA Lean Body guys, and it's again the same with people in my Top 50 program that are trying to bulk up, is building your own weight gaining shake where you add in 100 grams of oats, a couple of scoops of protein, and then natural peanut butter or natural almond butter, and you're going to bump up those calories very, very quickly. If you add 5 teaspoons or tablespoons of peanut butter to your shake and blend it up, that's an extra 500 calories straight away that you're blending and consuming. You add in your protein and you add in your oats, that's a 1,000 calorie shake that you're getting in one meal or in one snack if you're having it in between meals during the day. So not only are you getting your calories up and are you getting them from good foods your body can use and it's going to serve you for giving you more energy and more vitamins and minerals than you would if you, say, just took a cheap weight gainer that you'd buy in a shop, you're also going to be able to get those calories high enough to bulk up, and you're not going to have to eat that much food in order to do it. Another little hack that works very well is adding different oils over your meals. So if you're eating chicken and broccoli and rice or whatever it is, adding some olive oil or adding some coconut oil or cooking your chicken in that coconut oil is going to bump up those calories so you can get more fats. There's 9 kilocalories per gram of fat, and there's 4 kilocalories per gram of protein or carbohydrate. So you need to eat nearly double the amount of carbs and protein to get the same calories as you do from eating a gram of fat. So what I would make sure you do is have your complex carbohydrates, your sweet potatoes, your oats, your rice, whatever foods you're using, your good protein sources, your chicken, turkey, steak, your fish, but make sure you're prioritizing eating more fat to bump up your calories. And that's what's going to help you long term in terms of bulking up, providing that you're following the right training program. Of course, when you're trying to bulk up, you want to cut down the amount of volume you're doing. So you may not be doing a lot more reps, or you may be doing longer rest periods so that you're not burning through all those calories while you train. But again, if you have your nutrition on point and you're eating enough calories, you can even do some high intensity work and grow that way, providing that you're feeding your body with the calories it needs in order to grow. So the main takeaway is stick with more calorie-dense foods, and that's going to make it a lot easier to bulk up because you're not going to have to eat that much more food to bump up your calories. Okay, next question comes in from Ranj Kumara on Facebook Live. Do you recommend taking pre-workouts? Okay, this is one that I have a little bit of two opinions on. Personally, I'm a massive fan of pre-workouts and using them to give you a kick before the gym. And when I say pre-workout, something that's stimulant-based. Coffee can be a pre-workout. An actual over-the-counter supplement can be a pre-workout. Just having some simple sugars could technically be a pre-workout. However, recommending them I struggle with because they don't work as well with certain people. For example, I'm very, very caffeine sensitive. So if I have one cup of coffee, it gives me a load of energy. It also has all the negative effects. If I have too much, I get really anxious and really weary, and it has a negative effect on my sleep. So if I take it too late in the day and there's still caffeine in my system, I can't sleep at night. It's one of the reasons that I tell people that are struggling with sleep is like cut your caffeine before 12 p.m. or whatever it is so that you don't have your half-life where it's still in your system by the time you're going to bed. However, in terms of pre-workouts, I always take some version of pre-workout before I train, and that may be green tea extract, which has a little bit of caffeine. That may be a caffeine pill, or it may be a caffeine gum, or it may be a cup of coffee, or a form of actual pre-workout. There's really only one or two over-the-counter supplements that I like in terms of pre-workout. I love the Flexi Fury. One of the reasons that I take that is it doesn't make me sick. It doesn't make me crash. It doesn't make me edgy. And it gives me a good, steady energy release in terms of my energy before a workout. One of the things to look out for in pre-workout supplements is the amount of the size of the scoop. If you have a small scoop in your pre-workout and it's a small little tub, there's a good chance that it's loaded with stimulants. And if it's giving you a lot of energy, it's a lot of stimulant fake energy that you're getting. It's one of the reasons that those supplements that have tiny little scoops and small little packets, they can give you so much energy the first time you take them and they work for a week and then they stop working because you end up blowing out those receptors and you don't get the same kick from them. If you have a bigger scoop, it means that there's probably more creatine in there, there's probably more beta-alanine in there, and there's probably a little bit of caffeine in there as well, so that you're getting real ingredients that will actually support your workout as opposed to just stimming you out, which is effectively what a lot of stimulant workouts, pre-workouts do. And by all means, I use them for probably from the age of 22 to 25. I use every stimulant pre-workout I could get my hands on, and the more it tweaked me out, the more I liked it. But now I don't like that feeling of too much energy because of the crash that comes with it, the anxiety that comes with it. Sometimes you can have a massive decrease in your mood if there's a lot of like serotonin or dopamine or anything that's going to increase your endorphin level in your body. So for example, there was a supplement called JAK3D, and the old banned supplement had an ingredient in it. It was 1,3-diethylethylene, and that's a raver drug that made you feel like you were a god when you took it. Your mood was euphoric, but the crash out the other side was horrible. And this you could buy over the counter. You could literally go into your any supplement store and buy this supplement. It's now since been banned, but you could go in and you could buy that. Just because you can buy something over the counter doesn't make it safe. And normally the pre-workouts or fat burners that end up ramping you to the moon get banned after 6 months because there's ingredients in there that shouldn't be in there. And that was the case with JAK3D. And I remember I used to get these horrible mood drops about 6 hours after taking them. On top of that, you get something that's called Stimdick, which is something really bad for guys. If you have way too much stimulants in your system, it can have a negative effect on your body's ability to get an erection. So if you Google for any guy that's ever struggled in that area and have been loaded up on stims, you drink way too much Monster or way too much pre-workout and you're struggling to actually get it up, that's a thing. That's an actual, it's called Stimdick. It's a big thing in the fitness world. And if you have way too many stimulants and it has a negative effect on blood flow and all the things you need to get a full erection, that can have an effect on you negatively. So also be very, very wary of that. And for someone that takes way too many pre-workouts or way too many stimulants or way too many fat burners, that can be an effect. So if you're having that area of your life in your bedroom side of things isn't working well, have a look at your nutrition and have a look at the amount of stimulants you're taking because that could be affecting you. So that's also something to look out for. So in terms of pre-workouts, I'm a massive fan, just taking them in moderation. Because I'm so caffeine sensitive and it affects me every time, I try and save my caffeine or my pre-workout for just before I train, or I'll have a second cup later in the day if I've got an appearance or I've got a podcast I'm recording or I've got a blog I'm writing or if I'm writing sections of the book when I was writing the book. I would make sure that I had caffeine in there as well because it gives me such a good mental kick. But that being said, it runs off that beta 1 receptor, and if you max that out, it will stop working. That's why the first time you ever took a cup of coffee or a can of Monster or Red Bull, you got so much energy from it, and now it doesn't really do that much to you because you end up getting that less sensitive to that receptor and you don't get the same kick. So that's why it's worth cycling off your pre-workouts and cycling off your stimulants every 4 to 6 weeks just so you get that hit every time. Like sometimes I'll just go a complete week where I won't take any caffeine apart from what I get in my green tea that I drink. And then when I go back on a pre-workout or I go back on coffee, it gives me that kick that it gave me the very first time. So in terms of recommending pre-workouts, it's very much a trial and error and seeing if it works for you. And if it doesn't have any negative effects on you in terms of your energy levels, your mood, your crash, your erections, whatever it is that looks like for you, then by all means factor them in. But if it's having a negative effect on your life in terms of you can't sleep, or it's affecting your hunger and you need to eat more food because you're trying to bulk up, which are all effects that pre-workouts can actually have on your body in terms of reducing your appetite in certain with certain ingredients. So if it is serving you, use it. If it's not, I'd cut it. Okay, next one comes in from Patty Mead on Instagram. I'm struggling with energy levels in a game. What can I do? Okay, so what I would look at first for any GA players, this is from a GA player, but any athletes in general, is the first thing to look at is going to be your nutrition, the second thing is going to be sleep, and then the last thing is going to be your supplements. So number one I would look at is making sure that you're eating good quality foods that are going to give your body energy so that your performance is optimized on the pitch and when you're training and if you're in the gym as well. So for example, people that come through my GA Lean Body program, having your nutrition on point geared towards your specific goals. So people coming through that want to build more muscle, have a nutritional plan that's geared towards building muscle. If you're trying to tone up, it's geared on that. If it's trying to lose body fat, it's geared on that. So you want to make sure that your nutritional plan is in alignment with your specific goals. In this case, it may be just increasing energy. So what I would do is I would make sure you're reducing the amount of food you're eating that may be minimizing your body's ability to use the calories for energy, which can happen with certain processed foods and fast foods. When you eat, for example, the rice is the example that I use in my book, The Fitness Mindset. If you use a microwave bag of rice compared to a whole grain bag that it has nothing added to it, the way your body is going to utilize the calories from both of those is going to be very, very different. When you have a microwave bag of rice, they've taken out some of the fiber, they've taken out some of the vitamins, and they've taken out some of the minerals and replaced it with preservatives so that it gets a longer shelf life and that you can cook it in a microwave. So what happens when you eat that food is you're not getting the same amount of calories and the same amount of energy that you are going to get from eating, say, the whole version where there's been no preservatives added, because your body's not dealing with those processed ingredients and it can better utilize the food for energy. This is why people are so big on paleo and the diet that's like free from any additives. And to a degree, paleo within reason is a very, very good idea. Paleo, the Paleolithic diet, so that if your ancestors 10,000 years ago didn't eat it, you don't eat it, which is effectively what paleo is. There are definitely premises in that work very well. And in the terms of minimizing processed foods for increasing energy, it works tremendously well. So I would make sure that you're minimizing the amount of processed ingredients that you're eating, particularly the ones that have added preservatives and have removed fiber and removed vitamins and removed minerals, so that you're able to eat your food and get the energy that you need from it. So for example, people coming through my nutritional plans in my GA Lean Body program mostly have real food. So sweet potatoes, baby new potatoes, basmati rice, brown rice, and they're using these carbohydrate foods to fuel their body. As an athlete, you want to make sure that your glycogen stores, which is your carbohydrate stores, is always full coming into games. It's like petrol or diesel for your car. If you go on a long journey and you don't have petrol diesel in your car, it's going to break down. Carbohydrates are effectively that for an athlete. If you go into a game and your tank is half empty, you're going to run out halfway through the game and you're not going to be able to keep those energy levels high. So number one is making sure your nutrition is right with good, real, clean foods and prioritizing your intake of complex carbohydrates within that. After that, it's going to be your sleep and making sure that you're able to get a good night's sleep. I talked about in my book, The Fitness Mindset, about making sure that you're sleeping in your 90-minute REM cycle. So your REM cycle, which is your rapid eye movement sleep cycles, you go into 90-minute cycles. So if you wake halfway through a cycle, you're going to wake up way more groggy than if you wake up on the 6-hour or on the 7.5-hour or on the 9-hour cycle, and you can actually get up and go about your day without having to get a cup of coffee to get you going. So that's something that I would look into your REM cycles, making sure that you're sleeping 6, 7.5, or 9 hours, depending on what your body needs, but making sure you're just getting enough sleep in general. Some people go through their day getting 4 or 5 hours sleep. Sometimes that's even broken because you're getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, or you're hungry, or whatever reason that's waking you up. That's all breaking your sleep, which is going to have a negative effect on your recovery, which is going to have a negative effect on your energy levels. So I would make sure that you have a sleep routine in there. If you need more information on that, go check out the sleep section in my book, The Fitness Mindset, or go check out the podcast episode on how to get a better night's sleep. That one should help you tremendously in terms of putting together a sleep routine, what supplements to use, on what kind of nutritional strategies you can have before bed that can maximize your sleep. And then the last thing is going to be your supplements. The main go-to energy supplement is always going to be caffeine, particularly for a GAA player, because it's one you can use that's not going to be on the banned list. Sometimes GAA players have to be very careful with fat burners and pre-workouts you buy in supplement stores, because there may be banned ingredients in those supplements. You don't know until they get pulled by the FDA or whoever it is that pulls them after 6 or 7 months of being on sale. So you got to be very careful. But when you have pure caffeine, either from a tablet or from gummies or from a cup of coffee in general, that's going to support you massively in terms of getting your energy level to the next level if you have your glycogen stores full from the day before. So for example, people coming through my program, again, this varies depending on the version of the program that people are on, but for a large portion of people, they'll have their carb load, their glycogen store the day before, they'll have their carbohydrates on the day of the game, and then they'll take some form of caffeine or green tea extract before the game in order to move their energy level from a 9 to a 10 so they can massively maximize performance. When you hit on all three, that's when you can start to move things to the next level, assuming that you have your entire training program in the gym, your entire training program on the pitch, all geared towards where you need to work on. Putting them all together can give you a massive advantage in terms of moving your performance to the next level. Okay, next question comes in from Clonard Sausages on Facebook Live. How can I meal prep better? Any tips? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share a couple of strategies that worked really well for me. Nutrition is one of the hardest things to get right for people because of lifestyle, schedule, and I said in my book, and this is what I do with my programs, that the best nutritional plan is going to be the one that includes foods that you enjoy, that fits into your lifestyle and fits into your schedule, that's in alignment with your specific goals. So assuming that's all geared and you already have that, your meal prep is going to be a big part of that. So depending on your preference, there's a couple of systems that I work quite well for meal prep. For me, when I used to be a primary school teacher in London, I used to do my meal preps in threes. So on a Sunday night, I used to prep for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. On a Wednesday night, I used to prep for Thursday and Friday. Saturday used to be a bit more free, and then I'd repeat the whole thing again on Sunday. And that's what works really, really well for me in terms of getting my meals in. In terms of freshness of food, I found that things like meat, my chicken, turkey, they all held for 2-3 days and they were pretty fine once you had a good fridge. Veg, you probably need to do every day. So for example, when I would come in, it used to take me 20 minutes to do my veg, and I would cook that in the evening, and then I'd have my sweet potato, or I'd have my rice, or I'd have my oats or protes or whatever it was that I was using for my meal the next day, and I'd have them stored in the shelf, or I'd have them stored in the fridge, and I would literally just repack my bag and cook my food twice, 3 times a week, if you were counting what I was prepping on Saturday, which was kind of free. That's what I found worked really, really well for me. Some people find that doing it every evening is what works best for them. That they'll plug in their favorite podcast, or they'll put in an audiobook, or they'll have their favorite TV show or a match on the background, and they'll just spend that half an hour, 40 minutes every day prepping their lunch and prepping all their meals for the following day. That can work tremendously well also. Another thing that has worked really well for me was making extra dinner the night before and then using that as lunch the following day. So for example, this is something that I do with a lot of people in my Top 50 program particularly, is if, for example, on Monday you have your normal dinner on a Monday evening, you make extra for your Tuesday lunch, and then the following day you get up in the morning, you have your breakfast as normal, you have a snack option during the day, you have your lunch covered because it was your dinner the night before, you have another snack option later on, and then you recook your dinner, and then you make extra again the following day. That's a great time saver if you're already doing dinner every single day. So it's just going to be about finding and experimenting with different systems that work into your schedule and that work into your lifestyle, and then doubling down on those. When you find the one that works best for you, for time, for actual taste level of your food, then I would double down on that. So experiment with those three different systems, see what works best for you, and then I would use that. Okay, next question comes in from Snapchat. Guys only seem to use me for sex. Am I doing something wrong? Please don't mention my name. Okay, so I'm going to expand on this one in the podcast just because I know this is something that comes in pretty regularly on my Snapchat or some variation of this question. So the number one thing that I'm going to offer here is one of my favorite quotes comes in from Charlie Munger, who's business partner to Warren Buffett. They both are Berkshire Hathaway, which own Coca-Cola. They're two of the richest people on the planet. And Charlie Munger always says, to get what you want, you have to deserve what you want. And I'm going to tie that in with one of my own quotes that I use in my book with, you can't hit a target you can't see. So if you don't know what the end goal is, there's no way to know if you're anyway getting closer to that end goal. So if your end goal is to find a boyfriend, or your end goal is to find someone that cares about you and treats you well, you need to know that that's the end goal. So if you're going through life and guys are just using you for sex, and this goes for every area of life, if you're going through and you're not, you don't have the ladder against the right wall, you don't even know what the ladder, what wall the ladder is against, how can you expect to get what you want at the end of it? That goes for your body composition, that goes for your relationships, that goes for your job, that goes for everything. If you don't have the target, you can't hit it. So if you're going through life and you find that guys are only using you for sex or for whatever reason, you have to ask yourself, have I set out what I actually want? Because if you are going through and you don't know what you want, then you're just going to get whatever comes back at you. And then it's going to be about the energy and the vibe that you're putting out. So you got to be very, very careful that that's not the energy and vibe that you're putting out, because we get what we tolerate. If we tolerate a bad relationship, we're going to get a bad relationship. If we tolerate a bad business, we're going to get a bad business. If we tolerate being overweight and out of shape, we're going to get that. It's the same with this. If you tolerate guys or anybody else taking advantage of you or using you for sex or using you for whatever it is in your life, if you tolerate that, that's what you're going to get. So we get what we tolerate. So it's important that you make sure that you know what it is that you want, because if you don't know, then you're just going to get whatever comes at you. And in this case, it may be just manifesting itself in guys utilizing you and using you for sex. So you have to be really, really clear up front that, look, this isn't what I'm up for. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with having casual hookups and having random hookups, as long as both parties are very aware of what that is and they're both coming into it for the same reasons, taking away the evolutionary psychology on how guys can detach themselves and compartmentalize sex more than women because of the gestation period that women have, in terms of the reason women have sexual selection preferences and sexual selection choice is because they're the ones that, girls, anyone listening here, are the ones you carry the baby, you have the gestation period, so that's why you have sexual selection. That goes across all mammals and species on Earth, effectively, and it just, in Homo sapiens and people, girls have that sexual selection, so that's why girls get a choice. I love the Bill Moore joke that for a guy to walk into any room and to have sex with any girl in the entire room, he has to be one of the richest, most attractive, most charismatic guy in the entire planet, where he can come in and pick any girl that he wants. For a girl to go into a room and have sex with any guy, she needs to do her hair. So that's, it kind of gives you an idea in terms of sexual selection. So girls always have that choice. But if you find that guys are using you for that, you have to realize that that's what you're tolerating, because you only get what you tolerate. And there's nothing wrong with having a casual fling or having a one-night stand or having a hookup, as long as you're clear and it's not affecting your self-worth in a negative way. There's nothing wrong with that. By all means, sex and all the physical stuff is all natural part of being and a natural part of life. But if it's having a negative effect on the way you see the world and the way you see men, you have to realize that it's up to you to change that. If you go through life thinking you're a victim because, oh, guys all use me for sex, well, that's the story you're telling yourself and you're playing the victim on that. When you take ownership and realize that, well, I've actually entered into these, I've had a choice to enter into casual relationships and let these guys use me, you can take ownership of it. And when you take ownership of something, you can change it. So it's important that you understand that you've tolerated that up to this point. And if it's not what you're up for and it's not what you want, you have to stop tolerating it. We get what we deserve. If you want to get what you want, you have to deserve what you want. But you also have to know what you want to achieve out of it. So if you know that you want a boyfriend or a long-term mate that's going to be there and support you and care for you over the long period of time, you need to not get into the relationships or not get into the situations where you're going to have lads that can utilize you. If you don't want to slip, don't go to slippery places. You know, you're probably not going to find the love of your life in a club at 4 a.m. You might, and the probabilities say that it's unlikely, but you definitely can, and people do. But if you're randomly hooking up with people and you find the guys are only utilizing you for sex and they're texting you at 3 a.m. and you're tolerating that, that's what you're going to get. So you need to understand that when you take ownership of it and realize that every hookup you've had to this point has been your decision and you've entered into it, and with the exception of, you know, extreme cases where people will force themselves on people and that's a different discussion, the majority of cases you have the choice and you've entered into it. So take ownership of that. Then you need to pull yourself out and realize, well, this isn't what I want. I don't want guys using me for sex. I want a relationship, or I want someone to care for me long term. And then you can go look for that. Your reticular activation system in your brain, it's cognitive neuroscience. The reticular activation system in your brain will focus on the things you need to focus on. It's effectively the cognitive neuroscience of law of attraction. So regardless of your belief system, whether you believe in the secret and the law of attraction where the universe will give you everything you want, or you believe in the cognitive neuroscience of the reticular activation system, which is your brain's internal GPS, and it'll focus on the things you need to focus on. Your reticular activation system is when you see somebody at a party that has the same dress as you, or has the same t-shirt, or has the same football boots. That's your reticular activation system kicking in, because it will tell your brain what to focus on. So when you realize that you've made the decision and you're focusing towards an end goal of a relationship as opposed to hookups and one-night stands, your reticular activation system, or the law of attraction from the universe, it doesn't matter what your belief system is, you will start working towards that, and you'll stop getting these one night stands or these guys using you for sex because that's what you're tolerating. But you have to take ownership of it. You have to stop tolerating that, and you have to trust in the universe, or trust in the cognitive neuroscience, and trust in the end results, that if you focus on the right things, where focus goes, energy flows. If you focus on what you want, you will get what you want. And that goes for everything. That goes for your body composition. That goes for your job. That goes for relationships. That goes for hookups and one-night stands. That goes for everything. What you focus on, you will get. But you need to make sure that you are not tolerating the things that are having a negative effect on your self-worth, and you're tolerating the things that aren't supporting the end goal. I put in my book, in the mindset section, that I live my entire life off the basis of, things are either a hell yeah or they're a no. If they're a no, I don't do them. Or if they're a hell yeah, I'm all in. I don't do half pregnant. I'm binary. Things are either a yes or a no. But you have to make that decision. If you start tolerating guys treating you like that, you're going to continually get that. If you stop tolerating it, you will stop getting it. And for you, it seems like that's your hell yeah or no. And it's going to be very important that from now on, you make those decisions out of, this guy, is he a hell yeah or is he a no? And you'll know. Because success leaves clues, failure leaves clues, patterns leave clues. So if you're getting the same patterns and you're hooking up with the same guys and you're meeting the same guys in the same places, the definition of insanity, Einstein said, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If you're doing the same things, if you're hanging out with the same people, if you're going to the same places and you're getting the same results, you can't be fucking surprised, because that's what's happening. Definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So make sure you change that, stop tolerating it, and then go and use the law of attraction, or use the cognitive neuroscience, the reticular activation system, and go get the thing that you want and the thing that you deserve. Okay, that's the end of today's episode, so a massive thank you again. For more information on me or my programs, my Top 50 program or my GA Lean Body program or my new GA Youth program, head over to my website, www.briankeyfitness.com, or my Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube's all Brian Key Fitness, my Snapchat, BrianK019. Massive thank you to Colm and Vaxonic, who puts together all my podcast episodes. Thanks for listening. Catch you soon.